wormwood. I know you're down here. Glubbo's told me exactly where you are. Now come out of that sewage pipe this instant.
Uncle.
I have read your latest report.
Have you?
Yes. You took a great many pages to tell a very simple story. The long and short of it is that you have let a man slip through your fingers.
Well, not entirely.
Oh, no. No, 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 dear nephew. You won't downplay your condition. The situation is very grave, and I see no reason why I should try to shield you from the consequences of your inefficiency. A repentance and renewal of what the other side call grace on the scale of which you described is a defeat of the first order. It amounts to a second conversion, and probably on a deeper level than the first.
I don't know what happened, Uncle. It was going so well. My patient was walking along by the old mill, in an ideal frame of mind, I thought. And I was coming in for a grand attack when suddenly there was an asphyxiating cloud blinding and choking me.
Had you not been such a fool, you would have recognized that the asphyxiating cloud is a well-known phenomenon. It is the enemy's most barbarous weapon and generally appears when he is directly present to the patient under certain modes not yet fully classified. Some humans are permanently surrounded by it and therefore inaccessible to us.
Right. Thank you for explaining, Uncle. I'll be going now.
No, no, no. We are not yet finished. Let us speak of your blunders.
Must we?
We must. Or you will never learn. First, by your own admission, you allowed the patient to read a book he really enjoyed because he enjoyed it, and not in order to make clever remarks about it to his new friends.
Yes, Uncle.
In the second place, you allowed him to walk down to the old mill and have tea there, a walk through the country he really likes, and by himself. In other words, you allowed him two real positive pleasures. Were you so ignorant as to not see the danger of this?
Well,
the characteristic of pains and pleasures is that they are unmistakably real, and therefore, as far as they go, give the man who feels them a touchstone of reality. Thus, if you had been trying to damn your man by the romantic method, by submerging him in self-pity for imaginary distresses, you would try to protect him at all costs from any real pain, because, of course, 5 minutes' genuine toothache would reveal the romantic sorrows for the nonsense they were and unmask your whole stratagem. But you were trying to damn your patient by the world, that is, by palming off vanity, bustle, irony, and expensive tedium as pleasures. How can you have failed to see that a real pleasure was the last thing you ought to have let him experience? Didn't you foresee that it would kill, by contrast, all the trumpery which you have been so laboriously teaching him to value, and that the sort of pleasure which the book and the walk gave him was the most dangerous of all? That it would peel off from his sensibility the kind of crust that you have been forming on it and make him feel that he was coming home, recovering himself?
Well,
as a preliminary to detaching him from the enemy, you wanted to detach him from himself and had made some progress in doing so. Now, all that is undone.
But
what? Speak up, imbecile.
By detaching the patient from himself, aren't we doing what the enemy wants us to do?
The enemy wants to detach men from themselves, but in a different way from our purposes. Remember always that he really likes the little vermin and sets an absurd value on the distinctness of every one of them. When he talks of losing themselves, he only means abandoning the clamor of self-will. Once they have done that, he really gives them back all their own personality and boasts, I'm afraid sincerely, that when they are wholly his, that they will be more themselves than ever. Hence, while he is delighted to see them sacrificing even their innocent wills to his, he hates to see them drifting away from their own nature for any other reason. And we should always encourage them to do so. The deepest likings and impulses of any man are the raw materials, the starting point with which the enemy has furnished him. To get him away from those is therefore always a point gained, even in things indifferent. It is always desirable to substitute the standards of the world, or convention, or fashion, for a human's own real likings and dislikings. I myself would carry this very far. I would make it a rule to eradicate from my patient any strong personal taste, which is not actually a sin, even if it is something quite trivial, such as a fondness for county cricket, or collecting stamps, or drinking cocoa. Such things, I grant you, have nothing of virtue in them, but there is a sort of innocence and humility and self-forgetfulness about them which I distrust. The man who truly and disinterestedly enjoys any one thing in the world for its own sake, and without caring tuppence for what other people say about it, is, by that very fact, forearmed against some of our subtlest modes of attack. You should always try to make the patient abandon the people or food or books he really likes in favor of the best people, the right food, the important books. I have known a human defended from strong temptations to social ambition by a still stronger taste for tripe and onions.
Yes, yes, I understand now, Uncle.
It remains to consider how we can retrieve this disaster. The great thing is to prevent his doing anything. As long as he does not convert it into action, it does not matter how much he thinks about this new repentance. Let the little brute wallow in it. Let him, if he has any bent that way, write a book about it. That is often an excellent way of sterilizing the seeds which the enemy plants in a human soul. Let him do anything but act. No amount of piety in his imagination and affections will harm us if we can keep it out of his will. The more he feels without acting, the less he will ever be able to act. And in the long run, the less he will be able to feel. Yes. You'd better fix this, Wormwood, or you know what will happen to you.
Yes, Uncle. I was a fool.
So you are.